need to digress from our teachings this morning concerning being led by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. And the proof text that's involved in proving the validity of the subject from the scriptures. Somebody say amen. I was interrupted by the Lord this week with a word of rebuke. Say a word of rebuke. A word of rebuke for this house. Or for some in this house. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, it's not as bad as it sounds. Somebody say amen. But you cannot expect to walk with the Lord and be and get joyous, happy word all the time. Somebody say amen. Because God is like a parent. Somebody say parent. As a matter of fact, he's our heavenly father. Somebody say heavenly father. And heavenly fathers along with earthly fathers, correct. Somebody say correct. So there's a word of correction, a word of rebuke for some of us in this house today. Amen. We want to get started with it because I'm going to need all of my time. Somebody say all of his time. And I might borrow a few minutes. Somebody say amen. Let's start this morning by defining the word rebuke. Somebody say the word rebuke. The term rebuke is defined as a strong expression of disapproval. Somebody say strong. Anytime the Lord rebukes us, it's strong. Somebody say strong. Sometimes it's mild, but in most cases, it will be strong. It's a strong expression of disapproval, reproof, or correction. Somebody say disapproval, reproof. Okay, y'all not going to talk back today, amen, because you don't know what's coming, do you? Amen. I chuckle because I know what's coming. Somebody say amen. Somebody say disapproval, reproof, or correction. Let me just say this. Today might not be your day. Let me say it again. Today might not be your day, but it's somebody's day. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Just a few things about rebuke and correction from the scripture. Number one, sometimes open rebuke is necessary. Sometimes open rebuke is necessary. Somebody say amen. Let's put a little word on that. Go to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5. New King James Translation. And it says, open rebuke. Say open rebuke. Open rebuke is like public rebuke. Or rebuke that's revealed. Somebody say reveal. He says open rebuke is better than what? So we take away from this particular passage that open rebuke, somebody say open rebuke, is sometimes necessary. Amen. Also, correction, say correction, from the scripture is also sometimes necessary. Somebody say necessary. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. God is so awesome. He's already made allowances or a way or given us proof of that which we have to do sometime in the church. Somebody say amen. He says all scripture is given how? God inspired every word that's in scripture that's written. Somebody say amen. And it's profitable for something. Say it's profitable for something. It's profitable for doctrine. Somebody say doctrine. Doctrine is simply teaching. Somebody say teaching. For reproof, somebody say reproof. Reproof has to do with reprimand or admonition. Somebody say admonition. It's for what? Correction. Somebody say correction. Here's what we need to understand. Every now and then our behavior get out of whack. According to God's standards. Somebody say amen. Every now and then our thinking get out of whack as it relates to God's way of thinking. Somebody say amen. And when that happens, correction needs to take place. Somebody say amen. So he says scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for what? Somebody say instruction in righteousness. So when we give a word of rebuke, we should have scriptural basis to stand on. Somebody say amen. Before we get to the word of rebuke, let's lay some good groundwork. Somebody say good groundwork. Somebody say good groundwork. This will give you a chance to breathe before we get there. Somebody say amen. Number one, the scripture states that judgment begins where? In the house of the Lord. Am I breaking up? Sounds like I'm breaking up to me. Amen. I need another mic. Pulpit mic should always be present. Somebody say amen. Just in case there's a hiccup. Amen. Somebody say amen. So number one, as we lay groundwork, glory to God, for this word of amen.
Hey, this got some, it's amazing right here. Somebody say amen.
Can I get a little volume, please?
Amen. Now, the scripture is very clear that judgment begins where?
Can you say in the house of the Lord? Amen. Before we talk about what judgment is, let's talk about what judgment isn't. Somebody say what judgment is. First of all, as it relates to judgment in the house of the Lord, judgment is not condemnation. Judgment is not condemnation. So if there has to be a word of correction in the house and you get a prophet that stands up before you and say, if you don't change your sinful ways, you're going to hell, that prophet doesn't understand new covenant. Because on the new covenant, somebody say new covenant, us being in Christ Jesus, sinful behavior does not keep us out of heaven. Sinful behavior might cause us from reaping some benefits in the earth realm. But sinful behavior doesn't keep us out of heaven. Somebody say amen. So you know from now on, if a prophet gets up and say that if you don't change your wicked ways, that you're going to hell. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, you hear it, but you dismiss it. Somebody say, I'll hear it, but I'll dismiss it. And everybody wouldn't say that. Somebody say, amen. But I'll hear it, but I'll dismiss it. Because we understand new covenant. Somebody say, new covenant. In Christ Jesus, or if we're saved, born again, nobody goes to hell if you mess up. Thank God for mercy. Somebody say mercy. So number one, judgment is not condemnation. As it relates to judgment in the house of the Lord, it's not. I know some of us, some folk would go to hell for doing some stuff that they do to you. Somebody say amen. In the church, but that's not God's way. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Somebody say amen. So number one, judgment isn't condemnation. Say judgment isn't condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Let's put a little word on that. Y'all come on in. I'm already started. Come on in. Amen. Somebody say amen. We have a word of rebuke that's coming to the house today. Somebody say amen. So y'all are just in time to receive it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's put some scripture on the fact that judgment, somebody say judgment, don't mean condemnation for the believer. Go to John chapter 5, verse number 24. Verse number 24 of chapter 5 of the book of John. Somebody say amen. And this is Jesus talking, and we can always trust him. Somebody say amen. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who what? And believes what? Has what? Somebody say everlasting life. Simply means I'm saved. Amen. He says, and shall not what? Say, shall not come into judgment. So if I'm in Christ Jesus, I believe in Jesus Christ, judgment as it relates to the judgment where everybody will stand before God and he'll separate the sheep from the goats, et cetera, et cetera, I would not be condemned at that judgment. Somebody say amen. He said, but has what? Passed from death to life. So judgment as it relates to judgment in the house of the Lord has nothing to do with glory to God, condemnation. That's what judgment isn't. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Y'all all right? You getting a little easy now? Yes. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. The Lord says through the prophet or through the apostle Paul that there is what? There is therefore now what? Can you say no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Somebody say that's me. So even when God judges us in his house, he will not condemn us. Say, if we're saved, we're saved. Amen. So number one, judgment as it relates to judgment in the house of the Lord isn't condemnation. Number two, judgment as it relates to judgment in the house of the Lord, it's not a future reality, but it's a present reality. It's not a future reality, but it's a present reality. Somebody say present. He judges now. He corrects now. He rebukes now. Somebody say amen. Now, the reason why rebukes shake us up so often is because we don't get them frequently. They come occasionally. Somebody say amen. But even when they come, they are what they are. Somebody say amen. So judgment is not condemnation. Two, judgment as it relates to judgment in the house of the Lord isn't a future reality, but it's a present reality. Somebody say amen. Let's prove that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17. Yes, sir. I'll only do that one. Somebody say amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17. For the time has come, somebody say has come, that denotes present, doesn't it? Somebody say present. Even during the time of Peter's ministry, judgment had come. Judgment had come in the house of the Lord. So rebuke, correction was present then. Somebody say present then. It's also present now. Somebody say amen. He says, for the time has come, yes, sir, for judgment to begin where? Somebody say, at the house of God. Say, that's at our house. Somebody say, amen. If you want to make the house of God real literal, you can say among believers. Because we make up the house. Somebody say, the house. He says, and if it begins with us, somebody say, with us, what will it be? Somebody say, first. So he's going to take care of us first. Somebody say, amen. He says, what will be the what? End of those who do not obey the gospel of God. So we've obeyed the gospel of God. We heard the gospel taught, preached. However we heard it, we heard about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. We believe that he died for our sins. We accept the fact that he paid for the penalty for our sins. So we are all right. Somebody say all right. Just for reading purposes, go to verse number 18. He says, now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, we're scarcely saved. We're going to make it in. Somebody say, make it in. What does it say? Where? Yeah, I can't see for that right there. They say, where will what? The ungodly and the sin. Well, they'll feel separate from us. Somebody say, amen. So judgment is not condemnation. Judgment, as it relates to judgment in the house of the Lord, isn't a future reality, but a present reality, amen, which means it happens now. Somebody say amen. Let's talk about real briefly what judgment is. Let's get a definition for the word judgment. Everybody all right? Everybody happy? Amen. Amen. The word judgment here is defined as a decision. Say a decision. The function or the effect for or against crime. So in essence, when God looks upon his church, or when Jesus looks upon his church, and he sees some behavior that's going on that needs to be corrected, he forms the decision in himself that, look, it's time for me to do something about that. Somebody say something about that. If you really want to see this in action, go to the book of Revelation, chapters 2 through 3. And you'll see Jesus rebuking his church. Seven churches at Asia Minor. If you have any knowledge of that, Jesus commends his church. He tells them what they're doing good. And then he commits to tell them where they need to make change. Somebody say amen. So he'll keep you happy about the good that you're doing. But as his church, oftentimes he has to correct our sinful behavior. Somebody say amen. Now, when the Lord was preparing me for this, I got the strong indication that God don't like it, or Jesus don't like it when we mistreat one another. He has a big issue with the world mistreating us. He says he's going to take care of that. Somebody say amen. But he has also a big issue with us mistreating one another. Somebody say amen. Because he wants us to be healthy and whole. Somebody say healthy and whole. So he don't want us to be about mistreating one another. Somebody say amen. If you ever want to bring a rebuke or a reprimand from the Lord, begin to mistreat one another in the house of God. Somebody say amen. And he will come in and straighten out that behavior. Somebody say amen. So judgment begins where? Somebody say in the house of the Lord. Judgment is not condemnation. Judgment is not a future reality, but it's a present reality. And if you really want to see it in play, look in the book of Revelation. That's end time teaching, but it has some present indications. Somebody say amen. Look in the book of Revelation chapter 2 through 3. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Now, we understand what judgment is. We got a good definition of judgment. How does judgment look when God is judging us? Somebody say amen. Or when Jesus is judging his church. It looks like chastisement. Somebody say chastisement. Or it looks like chastening. Somebody say chastening. Can you say chastening? Chastening comes in two parts. Somebody say two parts. One, it comes in teaching. Somebody say teaching. That's meant or designed to correct our behavior. Somebody say amen. And I'll say it this way, and it's amazing to me. I was a little shaky about this message when I turned on the TV. The preacher was preaching the message that I'm preaching today. Somebody say amen. And I got my confirmation. Somebody say amen. Number two, chastening. Say chastening. Chastening comes in the form of disciplinary action. Somebody say disciplinary action. God's best way to correct our behaviors through teaching. Somebody say through teaching. Or a word that corrects our behavior. If we don't adhere to the teaching, God is merciful. He'll talk to us over and over again. He'll give us an opportunity to change. If we don't adhere to the teaching, guess what happens? Disciplinary action steps in. If God disciplines us, he allows us to go through calamity after calamity after calamity until such time as we get the picture. Does that make sense to you? He don't necessarily beat us, but he allows us to be shaken in a way where we know he's trying to get our attention. There's some type of behavior that's going on he wants to change. Somebody say amen. Let's prove the point that chastening, say chastening, is the way that God corrects us. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Y'all all right? Verses 5 and 6. We're getting closer to that rebuke. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And Paul's right. I believe this is Paul in the writing of the book of Hebrews. Nobody really knows. We'll give it to Paul. Somebody say amen. He says, and have you forgotten the exhortation? The exhortation. Exhortation could be encouragement, but it also could be admonition or warning. Somebody say warning. He says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to what? Somebody say sons. We translate that children. Say children. That bring all of us in there. Somebody say amen. He says, my son, do not despise. The what? Don't despise it. Somebody say, don't despise it. Don't turn your nose up at it. Don't cut up because it's coming. Somebody say amen. He said, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor what? Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Somebody say rebuked by him. So chastening comes in the form of rebuke. Somebody say amen. When God desires to chasten, or when he chastens in act, guess what? It comes in the form of rebuke. Somebody say amen. Now, God ain't harsh like we are all the time. Now, when we get ready to rebuke somebody, you know, we might say anything. Somebody say, man, our tone might be so harsh. And I think I was doing a little bit of that yesterday. And I don't think the person that was on the recipient, or the person that was receiving the harshness, and I try to keep my family out of the messages because I've been admonished to do so. Somebody say, man. But I don't think the person that heard me doing the rebuking didn't like the tone I was using. Somebody say, man. But I need to let you know that I was trained that way sometime. I was trained that way some time ago, and it's hard sometimes pulling away from old training. Somebody say, man. So when God rebukes us, he's not like us. As a matter of fact, when he rebukes us, it depends on how it come across based upon the personality he's using. Somebody say personality. Most of the time, if our personality is a harsh personality, guess how it's going to come out? Somebody say harsh. If we're sort of meek and humble, guess how it's going to come out? Somebody say amen. If we're all wild and willy-nilly, guess how it's going to come out? You might feel like you've been beat to death based upon the personality of the person who's presenting the rebuke. Somebody say amen. And I didn't say this as it relates to Revelation chapter 2, verses 3. Revelation chapters 2 through 3, I'm sorry. God uses the angel of the house. Somebody say the angel of the house to bring rebuke to the house. Somebody say amen. Now, that might mean that the angel might be involved in the rebuke. Amen. He's just the vessel, or she's just the vessel that the Lord is using to bring the rebuke. Somebody say amen. So chastening comes how? In the form of rebuke. Somebody say amen. Chastening has two components. Number one is teaching. Somebody say teaching. God teaches us to correct wrong behavior. Number two, it can come in the form of, glory to God, chastening, chastisement. Chastening is what not what I meant to say, chastisement or calamities, if you will. Somebody say calamity. Let's prove that. Go to verse 6. Y'all all right? He says, for whom the Lord what? He does what? Somebody say he chastens. The only reason why he's correcting our hate behavior is because he loves us. Or let me put it this way. He's attempting to correct our behavior because what? Somebody say he loves us. It's up to us to submit to the correction. Somebody say amen. For whom the Lord loves, he what? And does what? Somebody say scourge. Scourge. Say scourge. Scourge every son whom he what? Somebody say amen. So here are the steps. Somebody say steps. Number one, he tries to correct or he endeavors to correct behavior with the word. Teaching. If you don't get it, if we don't get it, guess what? Scourging happens. Whipping happens. Somebody say amen. And the way God does that, he allows calamities to come in our life. Somebody say amen. Let's prove that a little bit further. Go to Luke chapter 12, verse number 47. Y'all all right? And that servant, say that servant. In context, the Lord is talking to leadership in the church. In context, he's talking to leadership in the church. He's trying to keep us on assignment. Somebody say amen. He wants us to stay on assignment. Say assignment. Whatever assignment he's given leadership to carry out in his body, he wants us to stay on that assignment. And if we don't stay on that assignment, we need to understand we're in disobedience. And if we're in disobedience, something is going to happen. Happen by way of calamities to get us back on track. Somebody say amen. I've even seen one instance where a person wouldn't obey, so God brought him home. Somebody say brought him home. Somebody say amen. Even though Jesus is talking to his leadership in the church, this scripture could be applicable to all believers. Somebody say amen. He says, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not what? Or what? Somebody say, do according to his will. Remember, his will is his choice. Somebody say, his choice. Do has to do with performance. That is, carry out his choice. Somebody say, amen. He says, shall be what? Somebody said beaten with many stripes. I saw somebody do this. Somebody said, amen. Stripes has to do with calamities. Calamities has to do with difficult situations or even affliction. Somebody say, amen. He don't bring it, but he allows it to come. Because he can't get our attention any other way. Like you know how it is with children. Sometimes you just talk. Somebody said, talk. I see some parents shaking their heads. Sometimes you just talk. And when you can't get their attention through talking, you use the rod. The Bible says that the child is full of foolishness, but the rod drives it out. Somebody say amen. God is the same way. If he can't get our attention through teaching, guess what his next step is? But he's real long-suffering in that. He does a lot of it. Somebody say amen. If he can't get about our attention through teaching, guess what happens next? He allows the calamities to come. Hopefully that'll wake you up. Somebody say amen. So judgment in the house of the Lord comes by way of what? Chastening. Can you say chastening? Chastening takes on two forms. I want to make sure you understand this, because if I have to rebuke again, you need to know I've already taught enough for us to make the behavior changes before the rebuke comes. Somebody say amen. So chastening comes by way of what? Training or teaching from the word. And two, by way of what? Disciplinary action. Somebody say amen. The question is raised, why would God chasten his people? And we'll find the answer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number, I think it's 8, but let me be sure. Verse number 11. Amen. We're getting closer to the rebuke. Can I get a little air? Somebody say amen. A little air. Somebody say amen. Just a little air. Glory. This might be Holy Ghost heat, but it's heat nonetheless. Somebody say amen. The Bible says in verse number 11, no chastening. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Don't feel good. Don't make us happy. Somebody say amen. But it's painful. Say painful. Nevertheless. Afterward, what happens? It yields the peaceable fruit of what? To those who have been trained by it. So it's designed to change our behavior. It's designed to change our behavior in a way where we display peaceable behavior. Peace within ourselves, peace with one another. Somebody say amen. God wants us to be at peace with one another. Somebody say amen. I'll just throw this out parenthetically. Sometimes, and I experience this a lot, sometimes in order for there to be peace in the household, somebody has to learn how to zip it. Somebody say zip it. Sometimes much talk bring much conflict. Am I talking to the right house? Somebody has to be wise enough to, okay, chill out. Just be quiet. Somebody say amen. Because in conflict, but what persons are trying to do is get their point across. And in most cases, both people think that they're right. So you're going to keep fighting or bumping heads until such time as somebody receive what I'm trying to say. Somebody say amen. And sometimes that can blow stuff out of proportion in a big way. Somebody say amen. So it's best for somebody. You need to be the somebody who's wise. Somebody say, I'll be wise. We need to be wise enough to say, okay, let's just agree to disagree. And perhaps the opportunity will come around again for you to take up the matter. Somebody say amen. For God chastens his church or brings judgment in his church to, somebody say amen, to change behavior from unrighteous behavior to righteous behavior. Am I talking to the right house? He wants us to live in peace with one another. Somebody say amen. So I think the groundwork has been laid. Somebody say amen. Here comes the rebuke. Now, I'm going to tell you what I told the Lord when he started giving me the rebuke. I said, Lord, this is going to sound like a medley. It's going to sound like I'm trying to get in somebody's business. But that didn't stop it from coming. I hate the meddle. I hate to feel like I'm meddling. But this is God's business. One of the things he's drilled me on over and over again. If you're gonna belong to me, you have to do what I ask you to do. Somebody say amen. And I'd rather be on his side forever than to be on your good side for a little while. Somebody say amen. So here's the rebuke. Say the rebuke. This word of rebuke this morning from the Lord comes to spousal relationships. Somebody say spousal relationship. Or this word of rebuke comes to married couples. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I'm free. Did y'all hear them? And then somebody back there say, I'm free. Somebody say amen. But you need to learn something from this rebuke so that you can help somebody that's not, as you call, free. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. The Lord wants to rebuke in two areas. One area is the area of love. Somebody say love. And the other area is the area of abuse. One area is the area of love. Say area of love. And the other area is the area of abuse. The Lord says to me that there ought to be at least three types of love or three components of love existing in every marriage. Somebody said in every marriage. One ought to be agape love. Somebody say agape love. What does agape love look like? I always define it as a caring, sharing love. But it's also defined as unconditional love. Say unconditional love. In a marital relationship, if I'm operating in unconditional love, guess what? I'm not always pointing out your flaws. I'm not always pointing out your flaws, and I'm loving you in spite of your flaws. Somebody say amen. Now, here's a reality that I've learned. I've been married almost 40 years, say 40 years. For the most time, the flaws that you see in the marriage were the flaws that you saw before the marriage. But because you were so lovey-dovey in love or active in other things that we shouldn't have been doing, you looked over the red flags. And you thought that when you got in the relationship, too, that you were going to be able to change some things. And some things just don't change in a person. Somebody say amen. A lot of times it's because of the fact that we've been raised a particular way. We see things differently from the other based upon the environment that we came up in. And it's hard to pull people away from environmental learning. Somebody say amen. They must be willing to do so themselves if they see where it's not conducive to good relationship or good relationship. Somebody say amen. So number one, somebody say number one, agape love. See, agape love should always be present in a marital relationship. Number two, feel of your love. Say feel of your love. That don't mean you're feeling on one another. Somebody say amen. Feel of your love should always be present in a marital relationship. Philia, P-H-I-L-I-A, that's the Greek word for Philadelphia. Somebody say amen. Or brotherly love. Say brotherly love. Brotherly love is the type of love that Christians have for Christians. So I should have said in every Christian marital relationship, these three types of love the Lord says should be present. One is agape. Say agape. Non-Christians are not held to the same standard as Christians. Don't you try to hold them to that standard because, they don't know the standard. Somebody say amen. And two, God don't hold them to those standards because they're not a part of his body. Somebody say amen. So one, agape love. Say agape love. Agape love should be present. Somebody say amen. Two, feel of your love. Say feel of your love. That's brotherly love or the love that all Christians should have for one another. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. And you already know that love suffers long and is what? Kind. Somebody say One person said, somebody say kind. Somebody say amen. And the third type of love should be eros love. Somebody say eros love. That's romantic love. Somebody say romantic love. Now, the root word for romantic is romance. Somebody say romance. I need to give you a definition of romance, because romance don't look the same to everybody, especially men and women. Oftentimes, men see romance as let's get it on. Yeah, that's oftentimes the way that we see it. Let's get it on. Somebody say, let's get it on. Sometimes there are some women that see it that way too. Somebody say, man. And sometimes women see romance totally different. So in order for you to understand, or for my wife to understand what I see romance as, I got to verbalize. I got to communicate that to her. And for, in order for me to understand what romance looked like to her, somebody say, man. She has to verbalize that to me. Somebody say, man. Eros love also has to do with physical love. Physical has to do with attraction. Somebody say attraction. Can I help the brothers today? It's unfair for us brothers. It's very unfair for us. And this is sort of harsh. It's very unfair for us to say, I'm not physically attracted to my wife anymore because she's gained pounds. Somebody say amen. Especially when you've gained about as much. It's hypocritical. Somebody says hypocritical. It's just unfair. It's unfair. It's unfair for me to say to my wife, look, you're not physically attracted to me, or I'm not physically attracted to me because you've gained a few pounds. Because I've gained a few pounds too. I was 166 pounds when I married her. I've been as high as 250 pounds. Now I'm around 224 pounds. Somebody say amen. And I hope that I'm still physically attracted to her. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm going to be honest. She's asked me to keep me out of the message, but let me just have one more time. Somebody say amen. I am very physically attracted to her. Very. I would say as much as I was when I married her, but I think it's even more now because I know her. I know her personality, et cetera. So I'm very physically attracted to her. She's beautiful to me. She's intelligent to me. Okay, how you see her, she's fine to me. Somebody say amen. She still makes my motor run. She still makes me want to rush to the place where lovemaking takes place. Somebody say amen. She's still all those things to me. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So I think all three of those love are present in my relationship as it relates to me. Amen. I can't speak for her, but I can speak for me. Somebody say amen. So God is saying God is saying, listen, I say what he says. It's unfair for us brothers to hold our wives to a standard that you don't even hold yourself to. If you want things to change, you need to get the plank out of your own eye before you start trying to deal with the dust in hers. Somebody say amen. And if you don't know anything else about life, you need to understand that things change, people change. Somebody say amen. Things change and people change. Somebody say amen. So the Lord said there should be at least three, somebody say three types of love or three components of love within a marital relationship, Christian marital relationship. One is what? You ought to be loving in spite of flaws, in spite of things that you don't like. In spite of those things, we should be loving. Somebody say amen. Number two, there should be what type of love? Philia. Somebody say philia. That's brother-to-brother love. Or that's the love that Christians have for one another. And three, that's what? That has to do with the physical. Somebody say physical. Let me keep my word. Let me give you a definition of the word romance. Y'all all right? Everybody with me? The word romance is defined as, and this is what you need to catch, romance is a feeling. Somebody say feeling. The word romance is defined as feelings or demonstrations. So romance, the feeling, is, glory to God, expressed through demonstration. Somebody say demonstration. It's feelings or demonstration of love or desire, especially idealized love. Somebody say idealized. Romance come out of what my ideal of love is. Romance come out of what her ideal of love is. But we gotta love as it relates to Eros. Somebody say Eros. But we have to talk to determine what romance looks like. Somebody say amen. So three types of love. Say three types of love. One is what? You need to say it loud because I'm trying to make sure you got it. Somebody say agape. Number two is what? Number three is what? Somebody say Eros. E-R-O-S. Somebody say amen. Now, this is strong right here. The Lord say it, either one or two of those components of love or missing out of a relationship, it's time for counseling. It's time for counseling. Because somebody needs to help us see some things as it relates to love. Somebody needs to counsel us to get us back on track. And one of the things that the counselor needs to help us see that you weren't, that you're not what you were, and she's not what she was, but you're still in the covenant agreement of marriage. Am I talking to the right house? Always remember this. I'll tell you again. People change. Somebody say people change. People change in their thinking. People sometimes change in their physical appearance. Somebody say amen. But you took vows. I took vows. And some of us want to say for better, somebody say for better, but they were for better for worse. And you stood before God and the person who married you, and you said that you would hang in there through better and worse. Don't you be a hypocrite. Somebody say amen. So one, somebody say one, the Lord is rebuking us maritally or he's rebuking spouses in the area of love. Somebody say in the area of love. And area number two of what is what? You remember? Abuse. Somebody say abuse. Now, I hope none of us are involved in physical abuse. I hope not. And here's my admonition to you. If you are about, or if you are involved in physical abuse, you need to separate yourself from that physical abuse. Whether you're in the house or listening. I'm not saying get a divorce. I'm not saying that. I don't like to encourage people to get a divorce. Sometimes I have, because you know, it looks like somebody's gonna get hurt if they don't get a divorce. But if you're in the midst of physical abuse, you need to separate until such time as somebody get their behavior under control. Anytime there's physical abuse going on in the marriage, somebody's trying to control somebody. And two, and when I married you, I didn't become your child. When you marry me, you didn't become my child. I don't have no business trying to beat you into submission. And you don't have no business trying to beat me into submission. If it got to be that kind of carrying on, it's time for me to what? Exit, stage left or right, whichever one is conducive. Somebody say amen. So hopefully there's no physical abuse going on in a relationship. But I'm sure that the Lord is telling me that there's some verbal abuse going on. Somebody say verbal abuse. What does verbal abuse look like? The demeaning words. I need to go that far. I'll say it. Verbal abuse come out of the mouth. Is what you say. Somebody say what you say. It looks like this: defamatory words. That ain't always cursing. It could be words that just cut people to the core. Somebody said defamatory words. Verbal abuse look like words that belittle. Somebody say belittle. I'm always saying things to you to make you feel like you're this small. And verbal abuse are words that does not edify a person. Don't build people up. Somebody say don't build people up. And if I can put it this way, sometimes we learn this from our surroundings. But God's saying it's time to correct it. Somebody say amen. Why is it so important that we correct verbal abuse? Because verbal abuse turns to mental abuse. You abuse me long enough with your words, I'm going to start thinking about myself a lot lesser than I should, especially if I value your words. Somebody say amen. If I keep listening to your words of abuse, if I stay there and keep allowing you to abuse me, guess what? It's gonna damage my psyche. It's gonna damage my esteem about me. Somebody say amen. And that's not God's intent for us. Somebody say amen. So always remember, verbal abuse, say verbal abuse, lends to what? Mental abuse. Somebody say mental abuse. And mental abuse is the same as physical abuse in this regard. A person, when they are always verbally abusing you, they're trying to control you. Somebody say control. They want you to see yourself like they see you. And you don't have to see yourself like anybody sees you, especially if it's demeaning. If you're nice and they keep calling you a low-down so-and-so, they might be looking at somebody else when they see you. They want to get you to that point that you become that. Somebody say amen. They want control. Somebody say control. Somebody say control. One thing about verbal abuse, say verbal abuse, if it persists, somebody say amen, it can be offensive to the person who's on the receiving end. Somebody say amen. And if it's offensive to that person that's on the receiving end, guess what's going to happen? That defense or offense could turn into what the Bible calls the foul behavior. The foul behavior looks like this. I have set up ill will in myself because you keep on abusing me. Somebody say amen. So I'm going to start to retaliate against what you're doing or saying to me. And then we really got a mess. Somebody say amen. So God is rebuking, and let me make sure I get it all out as it relates to what he said to me. God is rebuking marital couples. Say marital couples or spouses in the area of love and in the area of abuse. Somebody say abuse. Somebody say abuse. Now, here again, the goal in verbal abuse is control. Say control. And verbal abuse does damage the psychic, which leads to esteem issues, if you will. Somebody say amen. So God wants us to change that behavior. Say change that behavior. If we're operating that behavior. Somebody say amen. Before I really give you the word of rebuke that he gave me earlier this week, the Lord gave it to me. Somebody say, Lord gave it to him. We need to understand the type of behaviors that do not, or the type of behavior that doesn't receive rebuke from the Lord. Somebody say, doesn't receive rebuke from the Lord. Most times, if a person don't receive rebuke from the Lord, they get caught up in pride. Somebody say pride. Pride simply means I got my attention on me. Pride simply means that I'm being selfish in a particular area. Pride simply means that I'm haughty in a particular area. Somebody say amen. Can I tell you what pride looks like when a message like this is going forward? You're not looking at you if you're in pride. You're looking at somebody else. He ain't talking to me. He's talking to my spouse. This word ain't to me. This word, my spouse need to really be perking up and hearing this. You're missing what God is saying to you because you're caught up in pride. Listen to what the Bible says about pride. I told you I might go over a little bit today. I've gone over, but I'm almost done. Go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Y'all all right? Are you listening? I've been open and honest with you all about a lot of things over the years. I've told you that I've been dealing with verbal abuse coming out of my mouth for years. I'm a lot better at it. Put her in this one more time. If you don't believe me, ask her. I very rarely verbally abuse her in any way. I learned verbal abuse from the street and from other relationships. Somebody say, man, I brought it into my marriage. I didn't know any better. I thought I was supposed to talk like I was talking. But when I learned better from the word, I start working on that. I'm a hell of a lot better than I was. But every now and then I get it wrong. Somebody say amen. Listen to what the Bible has to say about pride. Pride goes what? When you get all haughty, when you can't receive a word from the Lord, when you focus on you, glory to God, this ain't for me, this is for somebody else, this ain't for me, this is for my spouse. It says that pride goes what? And a haughty spirit, what? You're headed for some hurt and harm. Am I talking to the right house? So if that's your defense this morning, you need to put it down. You need to see yourself in this message from the Lord, and you need to look at yourself in a way where I'm going to make some changes. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. If you're missing two of those three ingredients of love that God has mentioned to me to share with you, you need to find yourself in a counselor's office. Because the situation is going to continue to get out of control. Somebody say amen. Here's the word of rebuke that the Lord gave me this week for us. Go to Luke chapter 13, verse number 3. And I'm closing on this. And when he first said it, I had no idea what he was talking about. I thought I was caught up in something that he wanted me to get out of. He says, I tell you, this is Jesus speaking to us. He says, I tell you, no. Somebody say no. He said, but unless you repent, you are what? Unless you repent, you are what? Let's look at two things real quickly. As it relates to repent, when the Lord asking us to repent, he's asking us to change. One, our way of thinking. Two, our way of behavior, or both. Somebody say amen. When the Lord used the word perish here as it relates to the unsaved person, he's saying, if you don't repent, turn to me for salvation, if you will, you're going to be eternally separated from me. So as he talked to us when he used the word perish, he's not talking about eternal separation from him because we're already in him. We're already saved. Somebody say saved. So the word perish carries two components. They two components. One, the word perish carries the component of being totally destroyed. Totally destroyed. Now, a Christian cannot be totally destroyed. Totally destroyed carries the connotation of being eternally separated from God, and we cannot be eternally separated from God. Component number two is loss. Somebody say loss. Or to suffer loss. Somebody say amen. So when he's talking to us about repenting today, if we found ourselves in that behavior that was mentioned in the rebuke, somebody say amen, he's telling us to change from those ways or suffer loss in our relationship. What does loss look like in our relationship? We could lose our partner. Our relationship could end up in divorce. You could lose the person that you were sold out to, and you still believe that you're sold out to in love if you don't make correction. People get tired of being beat up on. People get tired of being discouraged. People, and I'm talking people in general, people want to be encouraged. If you ever want to run me away from you, beat up on me. Beat up on me consistently. Verbally abuse me consistently, and I'm going to get my hat and the rest of my clothes. And I'm going to jet. I'm not saying I'm jetting forever. Somebody say amen. But I'm going to jet until you learn how to talk to me. Because I'm made in the image and likeness of God. And my question is, do you talk to God like you talk to me? So why, if you don't talk to God like you talking to me, why are you talking to me and I'm made in his image like that? Am I talking to the right house? I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. If you love Jesus, you ought to love me. And you ought to love me like the scripture says you ought to love me. And if you got some issues with loving me that way, you need to get you some counseling to help you get on the right road. So the Lord said, repent or suffer loss. Repent or suffer loss. This is an admonition. He's warning you what could happen. You can listen or don't listen. He's warning us what could happen if we don't get on the good foot. Now, this is not an excuse for somebody to vacate. God is trying to help us to see some things, to see where we need some change. Does somebody say amen? So if you're not loving the way he wants you to love in the marital relationship, and I'm closing, if you're being verbally abusive, that lends to mental abuse, it's time to make a change. Now, y'all shout when I tell you that the Lord say it's the season for you to prosper. It's the season of your greatest prosperity. You shout on that because you like that change. Somebody say amen. Well, you need to shout about this one too, amen, because it's going to make me better. It's going to make my relationship better. It's going to make my spouse more endeared to me, amen. It's going to make my spouse more readily available to me to meet some of the needs that I have. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So please hear and heed in Jesus' name.